Good morning, Evan Hope.
Morning.
Happy Independence Day. I like that. It's Sabbath first and Independence Day second, isn't it? I actually woke up this morning and I found out it was 4th of July. So I am happy to be here today. We look a little more intimate in this setting than Burden Hall. Nobody gets to hide in the balcony anymore. I've been here sort of incognito a few times. I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't been here for a while before that. And it's always good to be with you here at Avon Hope. It feels like home. It feels like family. Well, this morning, the title of our message is a question. A question that I have no answer for, at least no answer for you, but I sure hope you have an answer for. What's this question? Are you at the place? Are you at the place? So before we open God's Word, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, this morning as we spend a few thoughtful moments contemplating your Word and the experiences of some faithful men in your Word, I pray that we may find the answer to this question. And more importantly, may you speak to our soul. And when we leave this place, may we leave with the assurance that Jesus is living in our hearts and that he is the Lord of our lives. And so we invite him to speak to us now, in spite of the feeble, dust-made servant that is speaking. May Jesus be heard. And the Spirit touch us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at a couple Bible passages in rapid fire. And I want you to think with me as we read these verses about the common thread that runs through them. What's the common theme? Okay, let's begin first in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. Are we there? A couple more pages flipping in the back. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named what? Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was at the place. Are you at the place? Genesis chapter 22, also beginning in verse 1. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went up both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham was at the place. Are you at the place? Exodus chapter 3. Also beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses was at the place. Are you at the place? Three characters, three passages, three experiences. Faithful men that are recorded in Scripture, each of them, where do we find them? At the place. But notice what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say a place. What's the difference between the word a and the word the? An indefinite versus a definite article. If I say, I went to a place, does that tell you anything? It's nonspecific. It's nebulous. It's sort of like he just went somewhere. But when I said I went to the place, it's a specific point in time or location. The place. Specific. And the place for Zacchaeus, Abraham, and Moses was the place where God met them. And do you think God knew that Zacchaeus was going to be in that tree that day? Do you think Jesus knew that even before he became incarnate man? Do you think God knew that on that fateful day, Moses was going to be walking past that bush on Mount Horeb? Do you think God knew that he was going to make an appointment with Abraham to meet him on Mount Moriah with his son on that fateful morning? Yes. If God knew, and God made an appointment specifically to be on time at the place to meet his appointment, do you think God has made an appointment to meet you at the place? Do you think God, in his infinite wisdom, in his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, would care to have set time aside in his calendar for you? God wants to meet us at the place. The question is, are we at the place? It's not the same place for everyone. For Zacchaeus, it was in a tree. For Abraham, it was before an altar with his son bound upon it on Mount Moriah. For Moses, it was in the desert on the backside of the wilderness before a burning bush. Where would God have you meet him? I don't know. But I just know that he wants to meet you there. Let's think about these three characters for a moment. For Zacchaeus, what did it mean to meet Jesus at the place? Let's think about Zacchaeus. The place was underneath or at that tree. It was the place where he met Jesus as his Savior for the first time. For Zacchaeus, it was the place of salvation. And think about Zacchaeus. Who was he? The Bible tells us he was a publican, a chief of the publicans. And if that's not enough, he was rich, filthy rich. But yet the Bible also tells us he longed to see Jesus, who he was. But here's something fascinating about Zacchaeus, at least to me, is he does something very paradoxical, something contradictory to what he desires in his heart. He wants to see Jesus. Didn't we read that in the Bible? But what does he do? He hides himself. Yes, he climbs into the tree so he can catch a glimpse of Jesus, but if he really wanted to see Jesus, who he was, why would he hide himself in a tree? It's ironic. But nevertheless, Jesus knew the true motivation, the true heart desire of Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. He longed for the peace of salvation, but he was still hiding himself in a tree. And do you know that Jesus has been in the specialty? He's been a specialist in finding sinners in trees. Did you know that? Let's look in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and let's read verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the what? Trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Abraham and said unto him, "Where art thou?" God has been specializing in finding sinners hiding in trees since the dawn of human history. But why is that significant? It's because that reveals the innate nature of fallen humanity. We know we need salvation. Just like Adam and Eve knew that they were naked. They needed help. They were lost. But what is the natural inclination of the sinful heart? We hide ourselves. But the good news is that even when we're hiding ourselves in trees, Jesus has an appointment to meet us at the foot of that tree that we're in. Some of us, we hide ourselves no longer behind physical trees. Little children might do that when they get in trouble. But as we get older, our trees become more sophisticated. Our fig leaves become more acceptable in society. We put on ourselves the aura of, "I don't care. I don't care what other people think about me." But yet it's just a tree that we're hiding in. There may be other trees in our lives, our occupation. We work ourselves so hard. We try to be the best, climb to the top, earn the most, have the best, so that people will not see us for who we are. But inside we are thinking, "I'm no better than Zacchaeus." It may be the material possessions, our physical appearance. It may be relationships that we try to hook ourselves onto so people won't think so poorly of us and we in turn won't think so poorly of ourselves. But those are just trees. Trees that we put up, trees that we climb into, paper trees that we try to satisfy the longing of our hearts with. Trees maybe to cover up our guilt or inadequacy. And for some of us, The tree we build up is full of thorns, full of prickles, full of poisonous fruit. In order for us to protect ourselves, we lash out at other people. Yes, we recognize that we're short like Zacchaeus, but we blame everyone else for being too tall. The faults that we feel so stingingly, if that's a word, we feel it so intensely inside, in order for us to feel satisfied with ourselves, we have to look at the faults in other people. Have we found ourselves tangled up in a sycamore tree, longing to see Jesus, who he really is? Well, I have good news, my friends. And that is, Jesus is looking up at you at the bottom of that tree. He is at the place. But are you at the place? Are you at the place of salvation like Zacchaeus was? For some of us, it may be in the quietness of our room, while we're reading the Bible or the Spirit of Prophecy in our morning devotions, during our prayer time. For others, it may be during a service much like this, at church or GYC or Evangelistic Crusade or doing Bible work or somewhere else. But for others, unfortunately, like the prodigal son, we don't really get to the place until we are eating with the swine. It may not be until we are at rock bottom. Why wait to meet Jesus there when he can meet you now at the place? What about Abraham? Abraham met God at the place. But what was the place for Abraham? He had already accepted the Father. He had already accepted God. He was already following God, right? But Mount Moriah for Abraham was the place of sacrifice. The place of sacrifice. The sacrifice that God asked for from Abraham, I don't claim to understand fully. I don't claim to be able to fully sympathize or empathize with Abraham, because I'm not a father, much less father of a miracle child. This was the son that not only was it Abraham's only son, it was the promised one. God said, no, not Ishmael. Mm-mm, he's not the one. I'm going to give you Isaac. When you're 100 years old and Sarah's 90 years old, he is the one. And God names him by name. This is the one child in which all of the hopes, all of the aspirations, all of the joys and the future happiness of Abraham was going to be fulfilled. And what was God asking him to do? Sacrifice Isaac to me. Are you at the place of sacrifice? I would venture to guess that very few of us have ever had to sacrifice anything as large or as significant as what Abraham went through. But at the same time, sacrificing to God is hard. I'm not going to joke with you. You know it. I know it. And perhaps we have come to the point, we've accepted Jesus. We're living this life of, you know, continual growth, and we're trying to be like Jesus. And along the way, God reveals there are certain things that we need to leave aside. Certain things we need to let go. There may be sins in our lives, and those things, they've got to go. And we know that. And I'm not going to pretend as though giving up sins is not painful. It can be painful. But what's more difficult is when God asks us, like he asked Abraham, to give up things that are good. Things that he gave us. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Will our response be like Job? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we going to fight? Are we going to demand our rights? Are we going to stomp our feet, grit our teeth, clench our fists and say, God, how can you do this to me? Don't you know how much money I've given to Advent Hope? You know, I come to Advent Hope on time every week. I mean, how can you expect me to give this? This is what I've worked my whole life for.
How will I ever be happy now?
Are you on Mount Moriah?
Has the Lord asked you for that thing, that idea, that hope, that dream that you love and cherish the most?
What does the first commandment say? Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. And just think, if God truly is our God, and we have no other gods before him, then who has the highest claims on us and everything that we have? It's God. And if we claim to keep something to ourselves and say, no, God, you can't have this. It's mine. Are we not placing ourselves above God? That's a problem. And for Abraham, he had to meet that challenge. He had to stand at the place with a knife in his hand and his son before him. The joy of his life, the most cherished possession that he has, and he was about to give it up forever. Are you at the place? For us, the place probably is not in front of an altar with a knife to kill our children. Praise the Lord. But the place for us may be in front of the television. It may be in front of our computers. It may be in front of our cell phones. In front of the refrigerator. It may be in front of the closet that is overflowing with stuff. Clothes, shoes, trinkets, whatever. It may be at the shopping mall. It may be on iTunes. I don't know. But are you at the place? Has God asked you to give something to him? And you know it, but you're not there. There may be other things much more difficult than that. Dreams, hopes, plans, goals that God is saying, those things aren't wrong. They're not bad. They're not evil. It's not sinful. But it's not what I want for you. Are you willing to give God even that? As difficult as it may be, are you at the place? What about Moses? Moses was at the place. He was standing before that burning bush, and that was a pivotal moment in which everything changed in his life. What was the place for Moses? It was the place of service. God, in the burning bush, he asked Moses not just for one or two things. Moses was already on the same page as God. He already believed in God. But God was asking Moses for something far greater. God was asking Moses for his service. Forever. For us, this may not be what God has called you to. A life of full-time ministry, full-time service? Perhaps not. But has the Lord called you to some form of service? I believe he calls everyone to some form of service. And as a Christian, is there ever a time that we cease to serve? Only when we die. We are told that in heaven, some crowns will have many stars, laden with stars. I tend to think some people have, you know, detachable, removable, you know, spare stars and crowns that they can, you know, because they have so many. But some may have only one. But there will be no one in heaven that have no stars. Moses was at the place of service. And for Moses, it was not just giving up stuff.
It was accepting responsibility for a nation of slaves, uneducated, ungrateful, stubborn, stiff-necked, murmuring, complaining, bickering, whatever you want to call them. That was what God was calling Moses to. Service. You know, we think of service as when things get convenient, if it's easy, if the people are nice, like people at Avon Hope, then I'll serve. But since when has God called people to go save people who are already good? If they are well, they need no physician. But the Lord today may be moving on some heart here. Some heart, some person who have plans for the future. And we may be thinking, I'll just be a good doctor, I'll just be a good dentist, a good nurse, a good whatever, and I'll just pay my tithe, and I'll support God's people with my money. Economically, but somehow God is speaking to your heart and he's saying, I want more than that. I don't want your money. I want you. Maybe some of you aren't even at the point of giving God your money. And maybe God says, I do want your money. I'm not going to kid around. I mean, God does say that to people. But my point is, for every single one of us, every single person, perhaps in a different stage than others, God moves upon us to some form of service. And that form of service may involve sacrifice. It may involve changing our plans for our future. It may putting things on the back burner. It may mean delaying gratifications that we want for ourselves. It may mean a life of toil and hardship like Moses. It may mean difficulty. Low pay, poor reputation, no appreciation. These are all things that Jesus got. Are you at the place? For Elisha, it was while he was working for his wealthy family, plowing the field. For Peter, it was while he was fishing, earning a living for his family. For Matthew, it was at the tax collector's table. For Paul, it was on the road to Damascus. Perhaps for some of us, it is Sabbath morning, July 4 at Avon Hope. Are you at the place? The place of salvation, perhaps for some, because we've never accepted Jesus before. We're hiding behind the trees in our lives that we've put up. It may be the place of sacrifice. God may be asking us for something, some idea, some possession, whatever that is so difficult to give him. For some of us, maybe the place of service, where God is asking for our cooperation for the saving of souls. But why should we go? Why should we meet Jesus at the place? Why give him our hearts? Why sacrifice? Why serve? Why? Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. The Bible says, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Why should we go to the place? Because Jesus went to the place. Where God wanted him to go, he was there. The cross of Calvary is the place where salvation was made possible. Jesus was at the place. Salvation was made there. Why? Because Jesus was willing to sacrifice everything. That was the place. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He committed his life to fulfill whatever God wanted him to do, and that led him to the place, the cross. Jesus has been there already. Jesus had made the sacrifice. Jesus made the commitment to serve, and Jesus has made salvation possible for us, so why not meet him at the place? So the question for today, are you at the place? Jesus might be underneath that tree calling your name, but are you going to take him home with you? Jesus might be waiting at Mount Moriah for you, but are you going to tie up Isaac and lift that knife? Jesus might be calling out from the burning bush, but are you going to turn aside and take off your shoes? Are you at the place? From eternity past, Jesus has made an appointment to meet you at the place. Are you going to meet him there? Are you going to meet him there today? That's the question. And I hope to meet him at that place. Let's pray. Father, this morning we have contemplated for just a short time how men in our past have met you at the place. And they have responded to the call of Christ. Oh Lord, we selfish and discontented and unhappy as we are, we long to meet Jesus. For some of us, we need that salvation that you can provide like you did to Zacchaeus. For others of us, we need your help, your strength to help us make those sacrifices that you have asked for. And for others, you have called us to service. You have called us to work for you in some capacity, but Lord, perhaps we are resistant. Perhaps we are unwilling. Or perhaps we simply don't know how. We want to meet you at that place. The place that you have appointed, the place that you have set time aside in your schedule for us. May we ever be grateful that you are a God that cares that much about us. And may we meet you there at the place. This is my prayer in Jesus' name.